Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Snap, the hold, the kick online, but it is short. And the Indianapolis Colts survive here at Foxborough.
Boy, that would have been something.
Short, son of a, you gotta be, you know, if you're gonna break my heart, Patriots, don't tease me on the way out the door as well. A 68-yard field goal at the last minute, an NFL record attempt by Joey Sly that looks absolutely perfect, but of course it's not gonna go 69 yards.
Nice.
Because it's freezing outside. Anywhere else, maybe that would have been good. An all-time record, another victory for the Drake, joy in Patriots Nation, a dub on the way into the bye, immaculate vibes, all the Foxborough feels. Instead, now the New England Patriots, the ultimate get-right-against team, taught Anthony Richardson how to lead a comeback drive of his own, made him the winner, leaving everybody within the sound of our voice, or an eye shot at Gillette Stadium today, or at home, or wherever you happen to consume another frustrating Foxborough football fest. Sad, cold, and angry. Ah! These games! Stop aging me! Ah! Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Six Rings Postgame Show, live on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, our fabulous network of affiliates all throughout New England and Patriots Nation, and, of course, the Odyssey app. Download it today from the Google Play Store or the Apple app, AUDACY. Why? Because the Patriots let Anthony Richardson drive his way down the field after Christian Gonzalez got the second interception of the day for the Patriots. With just a few short minutes left, he went 80 yards in 4 minutes' time, calculating, surgical, impressive, motivated, and direct. Your Patriots defense, once again, gives up the bag. Ugh. You can't lose these games. If you want to teach yourself how to win, if you want to start a new culture, if you want to turn things around, these are the games you're supposed to win when you have over 400 yards of offense and you... To everyone who decided they wanted to take the eye test today, could clearly tell you the Patriots were the better-looking team. Don't worry, though. There were plenty of pre-snap penalties. There were plenty of holding calls. All the other things that drive a Pats fan nuts. Your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here at Fitzy GFY alongside WEEI Afternoon's own Andy Jumbo Hart will be joining us here in just seconds on the program. Please feel free to give us a call at 617-779-7937. We'll be here with you till just after 7 o'clock, fielding your calls and your frustrations. Go ahead, get your vent on. What a great way to start the holiday season. Happy December, everybody. I hope you like losing. Of course, the text line is open, 37937, as monitored by myself and our fabulous producer, Joe Braverman. And you know the socials, at Jumbo Hart, at Fitzy GFY. We are on at WEEI. We'll carry Drake May and Gerard Mayo live. And maybe somebody will ask, hey, Gerard, did you think Joey Sly was really going to hit a kickoff in the freezing cold to win the game? Or maybe, just maybe, a Hail Mary would have been a better option. We'll find out in moments. Mayo, Drake live. We'll hear from Megan Onalini after she finishes her column for WEEI.com and has a chance to talk to some of the players in the locker room. And Chris Schein will call in later on today, before 7, with the Drake May report card. Fun game. Hi, Andy.
I actually enjoyed the game. I thought it was two bad teams that played a very entertaining game. And from my perspective, you didn't screw your draft pick up, and Drake May looked awesome. So I'm not going to quite bring the negativity you seem to bring to this. And I also thought I was about to see history when Joey Sly knocked the hell out of that football. And
he did.
You know, it was sort of the opposite. Usually they say, well, that would have been good from 65. Unfortunately, this one might have been good from 65. he was kicking from 68, so yeah, we're screwed.
He was trying to, he was literally trying to hit a kickoff, and he blasted it. That thing was right. It was true. It was clean. But as since all of us are air pressure experts, thanks to the PV equals NRT hogwash of Deflategate, we all know that a ball doesn't quite travel the same in dead cold New England air as it does in warm temperate climates of, we'll say, places like Charlotte, Houston, Miami, or California. Yes, I was mostly entertained on the day, and that's why I'm starting with this, quote, signature negativity, if you will, because I'm frustrated, because Drake May deserved a victory today, because Ramondre Stevenson had a great day, because the offensive line, yes, like I mentioned, they had their holding calls, two on the same drive early, negating a touchdown run by Ramondre Stevenson, which was immensely frustrating. Some pre-snap action, of course, as always, because if you see the 2024 Patriots on the field, you should always take the over on pre-snap penalties. Drake looks great.
Take the over on, I almost said the word, crappy calls by officials.
We're going to maybe spend an hour, Andy. We might have to spend, maybe we'll even like start it today, and then we'll carry it over since I'll be filling in for Christian Arcand with you tomorrow at the stadium on WEEI Afternoons. We may start a discussion slash debate slash vent sesh on how bad the officials are, period, full Sean Spicer voice, in sport, in all football right now, let alone how bad they were today. And it may just carry over into Monday because they, sucked. That's right. They sucked out loud today. I'll say it without any fear of retribution.
I swear they are absolutely blind, all of them. And if we're going to do an extended cut version of this on Monday, I may have to wrap in a bitch fest from Thursday morning's Thanksgiving battle where I watched just false starts. The easiest call in football to me is false starts. You see a guy move before the ball moves. It's called false starts. Really, not that hard. And somehow people just miss them. Don't see them. You get five or six men in the NFL, eight men, however many people on the field, and you're like, wait, did you? You get 10 sets of eyes, and none of y'all saw that person move before the ball moved. It's amazing. That spot where they had to challenge was one of the worst I've ever seen. It was, and the guy's right there. I'm like, what are you looking at? There's a person with a ball. There's a line. He was past it. It's a first down, and yet you're like, nah, I'm going to put it back here by a yard. It's a problem throughout the world, and I don't have a solution for it. That's the good news is we know the officials are going to suck next year and the year after. Mm-hmm. The Patriots may not, because I watched a game today where the franchise quarterback was good. The franchise cornerback made what should have been a game-ending interception.
And a whale of a tackle. Let's not leave that out. He made a great tackle on third and goal on Richardson, too, dude.
Yeah, he did. He was in on that, absolutely. Yep. He missed a tackle earlier, but I'll skip that. He's a bit of a chihuahua, as some people like to describe him. But anyway, that interception should have ended the game, except AVP was like, yeah, nah, we're going to go three and out and punt here. We don't want to put this game away.
What? Yeah, again, that's where the AVP probably would have gotten, I thought that play call earlier. Once again, we will take Drake May and or Gerard Mayo. Actually, we'll take them both live. It's just a matter of which one we get first here.
We'll do it live.
On the Six Rings postgame show. Wow, that came from out of left field. Sponsored by, of course, our friends at McFarland Energy. They'll be up in moments from the podium, and we'll take it live. I had no issue with Alex Van Pelt and the play calling today at all until they decided to kind of turtle and go into safe mode. Like, hey, they've only scored two touchdowns today, and they really haven't gotten in the end zone on us since way back in the first half of the first half. So let's just go into safety. Like, you have to be aggressive there. You have to play. You have been dictating terms for the majority of the game. You should dictate the terms and say, no, no soup for you, Colts. We're going to finish this job and take home the dub on the way into the bye.
In my mind, that was gotta have it time. The old Bill Belichick gotta have it plays. That's where you say, I have an athletic young quarterback. I'm going to let him cook. I'm going to get him on the edges. I'm going to have run pass options. If I move the ball here, I end the game. I end the game with the ball in my hands. I don't want my defense on the field to lose the game, because we've seen this year, this defense, when it's on the field, can lose the game. And this was another example. And it really shouldn't have been as close as it was. I'm going to thank the Colts receivers for a couple horrific drops.
Who was that? Who's that 83 guy who dropped that beautifully?
Granson. And that was after
Adonai Mitchell,
dropped one earlier.
Yep.
Like, Richardson stinks as a passer, but he put both of those balls where they needed to be caught, and they were both dropped.
How come late in the game, all of a sudden, he found something?
It was weird.
Why did he all of a sudden find touch in the last half of the fourth quarter after not having any for the first year and a half?
The guy that completes like 40% of his passes is suddenly throwing dimes down the field.
40%? You're being generous. Oh, here's Gerard Mayo, Andy.
And look, it's about us. You know, penalties continue to show up, you know, both operational and post-snap, which we got to do a better job of. I'd also say, you know, just our red area in general, our red area offense. I think we were 1-for-6. Our red area defense, we weren't able to stop them there. And that's really the game. You know, you talk about on special teams, the missed field goal. I thought we handled the situations the right way, the way that we wanted to. And we gave ourselves a chance to win. Gave ourselves a chance to win at the end. Fire away.
Raise your hand if you have questions. We'll go with Dan Roach in the back.
Gerard, you mentioned some good things from your team today. On that 19-play, 80-yard drive, how disappointing was it? You had 3 fourth-down conversions allowed and just not being able to make a play, and plus the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. And, you know, there were some, you know, they obviously, you know, ran the ball relatively well. We just didn't make the stops that we need to. And look, that's the NFL. That's the NFL. We say it every week. It's that one play here, that one play there. And that extended drive definitely hurt. And then those guys going for two and couldn't keep them out.
Gerard, what went into the decision at the end to try the 68-yard field goal versus going for a Hail Mary there?
Yeah, that was 100% me. Look, Sly was hitting it well in pregame, and I felt that was the best thing to do to help our team win the football game. Not sure what the numbers are on Hail Marys versus the field goal there, but that's what I felt was right.
Coach, was there any thought to taking a timeout maybe before earlier in the drive where the Colts ultimately scored, and what was the thought process?
Absolutely, there was a thought. You know, we've also, you know, won a Super Bowl here doing it the other way, and keeping our timeouts is what I thought was best for the team.
Gerard, what did you see on Drake's interception down at the goal line to Hunter?
The one that kind of just bounced around a little bit. I mean, look, it's just unfortunate. And again, you know, just in the red area in general, I would say from, you know, the entire game, we just weren't good enough. You know, as the field starts to contract like that, I mean, the details and everyone has to be on the same page, and we just didn't do well enough.
Gerard, on the 25-yard attempt by Joey that he missed earlier in the game, it looked like after the kick, he looked down in frustration or disbelief at something. What went wrong? Was there something with the operation there, or was it just a missed kick?
Just a miss hit. Nothing with the operation. It was a miss hit.
Hi, Gerard. It seemed like you had, I think it was a season-high rushing yards today on offense. Just what went into the run game and why was it able to be so successful?
Yeah, you know, I've said all along, like, we have good backs, and we just have to get them started. I would say just the mentality, you know, if we don't have a good running game, you know, it starts up front. The same thing here. It starts up front. And I thought Layden actually went out there and moved some bodies, and his physicality, and, you know, definitely showed up the entire offensive line, and that's good to see. Just got to keep it going.
Gerard, you mentioned penalties off the top. What's happening in the process that's leading up to the result on Sundays where you continue to have issues like that?
Look, we know, you know, with this crew, the first, I think we had them the first Miami game, they threw 10 holding penalties between the two teams. So we went in the game knowing that, you know, that's one of the calls that they make a lot. You know, it just comes down to, look, some of them obviously were questionable, but they called them, and we just got to fix those mistakes.
Gerard, your offense had 4 trips inside the 10-yard line. You only come away with 1 touchdown. You know, how frustrating was that? And is there anything you can pinpoint to these, you know, sudden problems in the red zone?
No, you know, I'm going to go back and watch the film. But again, like, we have to – I mean, it's ultimate execution at that point in the game. Now that safety that usually plays in the deep part of the field, out in the field, now is part of the count. And we just have to do a better job executing.
2 final questions. Chris Ryan on the left.
Gerard, would you categorize this as a game that you guys, you know, should win, should be able to close out?
Look, it comes down to execution. I think we should win every game. That's just my mentality. And we just got to get better.
Last question. Josh Brogadier.
Gerard, there was a few minutes to go. I think it was a 3rd and 8. Catch by Mallory. Looked like it might have wobbled from our perspective. You decided not to challenge that. But I think you had 3 timeouts at that point. Did you consider that? What went into that decision?
We were waiting to see the replay. Never really got a clear shot of it. So I didn't challenge it. Thanks, guys.
Why do these things get cut so short? I actually wouldn't mind hearing Gerard Mayo talk a little bit longer. It's like 4 minutes.
Yeah, that was quick.
That was quick. I mean, yeah, he's frustrated. Yeah, he. I appreciate the fact that he owned calling for the 68-yard field goal. Excuse me, the kickoff. That as opposed to going for the oh, wow, here's Drake May right away.
Sorry, Dan Roach in the back.
Drake, obviously a lot of good things from your offense today. How tough was that one to see that unfold in the way it did?
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. I think our guys fought hard, did a lot of good things. So Coach Mayo just preached in the locker room. We did a lot of good things on film. I'm proud of the way our guys fought. I'm proud of the defense. I thought they played their butts off, and especially our guys up front on offense. They did a great job. I think we ran the football for a bunch of yards. I think we were efficient in the passing game and just came up short. You know, it's a bummer. It's I hate it for these guys, and I hate it for these coaches. We're practicing hard. We're fighting hard and just come up short.
Mike Jarrett in the front row.
Drake, what did you see on the interception down the goal line to Hunter?
Yeah, just try to get to him quick, and hopefully he gets in. I think I put on the wrong shoulder. I think he may have put on the opposite shoulder away from the defender, and I think that's maybe a completion there. But just unfortunate that he got tipped up. So just a bummer.
Sophie Willard on your far right.
Drake, we saw Jacoby come over here. We saw Jacoby come in for one play. Is that something you guys have been working on the offense to kind of get him involved and have those plays where it's maybe a little harder to guess, but you guys are doing on offense?
Yeah, just think mixing it up. So I think going about our philosophy, hopefully. I'm not trying to share that information. Just glad we picked up the first down.
Drake, four trips inside the 10-yard line. You guys only come away with a one touchdown. Anything you can pinpoint, you know, sort of the reason you faltered there and just how frustrating was that?
Yeah, I thought we ran the ball, you know, up until we got to the goal line pretty well. I think, you know, in the passing game, I got to think maybe get through my progression. You know, it's tough down there. It's tight, you know, tight windows, tight throws. I got to give our guys some chances. I think that's probably the biggest thing in penalties. I think one of them was penalties. We got back into, like, a first and goal from the 20 and just can't settle for four, you know, field goals in the red zone and, you know, expect to win ball games.
I know that you want what's best for the team down the stretch, but would you have wanted that last throw?
I think it's up to the coach. You know, I'm here for, you know, support, you know, what Coach Mayo and special teams guys and what Joey thinks. So I think, you know, given whether it's that or the Hail Mary, I'm, you know, either one.
Drake, when you take in all aspects of your offensive performance today, what did this game say about your offense and where it's at right now?
Yeah, I think we're dynamic. I think we can, you know, Herman. In the pass game, the run game, we can do different things. You know, we got play action, we got boot, we got, you know, running the football, we got throwing it downfield, we got guys making plays, running after catch. I think there's another layer to it of making, you know, more explosive plays, but we saw that a lot from run after catch today. And I think, you know, we're up 7, we got the ball left with about 7 minutes, and we got to go, you know, pick up a first down and try to get a field goal and make a play.
Drake, on that first red zone trip, first drive of the game for you guys, you end up taking a sack on third down and kick the field goal. On the third down play, what did you see there, if you can remember it? And was the spacing at all an issue? It looked like Henry and Bourne kind of end up in the same spot by the goal line.
Yeah, I think, you know, can't take a sack there. You know, red zone sacks, you know, especially if we got a chance to maybe get some yards and go for it. I can't remember the play, but I think maybe – let's see which way we're going. We're going that way. Yeah, I think they had a chance on backside. I think, you know, if I got backside, I end up, you know, scrambling out. We just got to stay in the pocket and, like I said, get back to the backside progression.
Two final questions. Chris Ryan on the left.
After the last game, you mentioned you were frustrated with your performance in Miami. How do you feel about how you bounced back this week? And obviously the only turnover was kind of that fluke play. You scrambled to rush but also to throw. Was this back on track for you?
I think, you know, I can, you know, speak for the offense. I think, you know, we got back on track and we played, you know, a solid football game for myself. You know, watch the football and watch the tape. I think watch the tape and learn. And I still think I left some plays out there and, you know, I just hated myself. You know, I pride myself in, you know, trying to lead this football team to wins, and we accomplished that. So that's probably the biggest thing.
Last question, Taylor Kyle.
Right here, Drake. It looked like you guys had a lot of success in the quick game overall, but it just seemed like there were a handful of throws where, you know, things weren't quite right. What would you attribute that to? Was it your timing? Was it an accuracy thing? Just what did you see on those plays?
Yeah, I'm not sure the stats. I'm not sure how many incompletions we had, but I thought we were efficient. I mean, most of the day, I think some of the plant stuff was on time. I think I missed booty on a slant. I was just late to it. JP, you know, over the middle, I think I just – got to put it on him, or, you know, once he gives me eyes, kind of let him make a move. I got to give him a better ball. But at the end of the day, I think we were efficient in the passing game, and the guys made plays.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and a quick one from Patriots quarterback Drake May as well. Andy, quick instant reaction. His response to the "Would you like to have gone for the Hail Mary over the field goal?" There, he defers like a good rookie to, well, it's coach's decision there. you know he wanted to say, F yeah, I did.
Oh, of course. He's a gunslinger. He's a competitor. He's an athlete. And we have talked to him a lot about that on our Monday interviews on the afternoon show on WEEI. He's also a good soldier. He grew up in a household where if your parents tell you to do it, you do it. And he believes in that on a football team. And I think that's one of his strengths that will help build a relationship with he and his head coach, whether that's Gerard Mayo or whoever takes over in 2 years for Gerard Mayo. That's a cheap shot. I shouldn't say that.
No, whoever takes over next year, you mean?
No. I think Gerard Mayo's here for next year, and I don't want to necessarily get into these big picture things. I've already gotten texts from people that are like, Mayo's got a guy. I got multiple texts in this game, like, will Mayo be fired? Should he be fired? Like, people ask me. I don't believe he'll be fired. I know Albert Breer talked about it, that he feels like Mayo's
resigned. That was when Albert Breer uses a word like, and so sorry that Ohio State lost yesterday, too.
Jesus, my head is big on that Twitch right now. Holy Christ.
Yes, and thank you, by the way. Wow. Thank you, by the way, to all of our viewers / listeners, twitch.tv/BostonWEI. If you want to. All right. Nobody in traffic on Route 1 right now, or no one who's lighting up the sad charcoal to have a defeat burger before the Patriots go on a bye, and no home games again until after Christmas. So there's a positive.
No wins till next September.
I was going to say, wow, your head is super huge on the Twitch. It's all face. It zoomed in. It actually got bigger.
What's
dear
bigger,
God,
my forehead or the big screen at Gillette? 617-779-7137.
Holy smokes. What a drive-in movie that is.
I know it's via Zoom, but please zoom out for Christ's sake.
God almighty. Well, the good news is the Patriots can't, the Pats can't ruin Hanukkah or Christmas because they'll play at home again until December 28th or 29th. So we'll see
how that goes. They can ruin the new year.
They can. Well, I mean.
No, they can't, because in the new year, they got $140 million and a top three draft pick to spend.
Yeah, you know what? I really want to see. You know, after watching today's game, I think I have a slightly new priority pecking order to that as well. And I think there may have been one or two other people on this current version of the Patriots that may have convinced me they should be part of the solution next year, not the problem. I think we got a couple more keepers. I think we have a couple other guys that want to stick around and play next
year. About time you swung my way and became optimistic. A lot of negativity through those first five, 6 minutes
it's
of the show.
Frustration. I'm allowed to be frustrated. I'm still a fan, damn it. 617.
Let me ask you a quick question, though, because you led into it with the May question. Do you believe the field goal was the wrong decision? Would you have thrown a Hail Mary there?
Yes, I would have.
Well, and Gerard, he referenced, like, I don't know what the numbers are on Hail Marys. We know they're better than the zero times a 68-yard field goal has been hit. That's never happened.
So he's literally, I mean, again, I'll legislate this the rest of the day, all night, again tomorrow with you, and whenever else possible. Hitting the longest field goal in the history of the NFL would be spectacular. If it were done in climate control, indoors, with warm footballs that weren't freezing cold rocks, it was 25 degrees outside.
It was chilly, but I will be fair. He nailed the hell out of the kick.
He crushed it. But you have to hit it, Andy. Sure. If he's kicking from 68, that means it has to go at least 69, if not 70, 71 yards.
Okay.
No one has ever done that before. And Joey Sly is a big, he misses a 25-yard chip shot, but
that's
almost hits
issue.
A 68-yarder.
That's where you really look back on it. And I know Coach Mayo said that there was nothing wrong with the operation there, but Joey Sly's reaction was very strange to that missed kick. He kind of threw his hands up and looked down. Now, I didn't see any
turf monster,
Behringer.
Maybe?
Maybe, because the hold looked, the snap, the hold, the spin, the whole thing, the angle looked good to me. That was a very, very weird kick. But he definitely reacted like something strange went wrong, and obviously the kick went very, very wrong. And in the end, when you lose a football game by 1 point on a 2-point conversion with 12 seconds left, those 3 points really could have mattered.
Thank you very much. In the Twitch comment right now, Miss Abby knows. Oy vey, the penalties again. I'm allowed to be frustrated, too. It should have never come down to a 68-yard field goal. Come on, boys. I couldn't agree with you more. All right, Andy, we got to catch a break here. Pay some bills. Get on track. We'll discuss what May and Mayo had to say. We'll check in with Mayo later on. The Drake May report card from Chris Scheim as well. All of your thoughts and so much more. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. Yet again, we sit in a diaper of defeat here on the Six Rings postgame show.
Well, we know Shane Steichen is aggressive. How about this decision? You're on the road, going for the win. Steichen feels like this is his best chance right here. Going for two in the lead. Richardson pulls it back. Richardson bangs it in.
you, Spiro Dinas. I can't do it anymore, Hart. I can't do it. I cannot believe that they let them go on a 19-play, 80-yard touchdown drive that turned Anthony Richardson, who is a turnover machine and completes passes on the season at a 40% clip, they turned him into Lamar Jackson. How the Patriots did. Welcome back, Alex Austin. Hope you like wearing the collar of shame. Giving up the touchdown to Alec Pierce on 4th and 2 with the game on the line. That was bad. Like, that's that right there. Everything we talk about, all the items up for bids here on Six Rings. You know, we always talk about, like, you know, winning time, making the big plays when you need to. Like, it's always going to have to be like, oh, well, we didn't come through. I guess we'll have to learn from that one next time, coach. Like, no, it's okay to actually make a big play when it counts and come through in the clutch. Who came through, aside from Drake May? And maybe parts of the offensive line that continue to open up holes for Ramondre Stevenson, who, by the way, went for 18 carries, 73 yards. Hey, the running back, actually, our starting backs. And nice game from Gibson, too, 7 for 62. So 25 carries for a buck 35. I'll take that any given day, especially on Sundays in the cold in December. That's a nice day from the offensive line and from the running game. And no one else came through in the clutch. Like, yeah, Gonzo had the pick, and he made that nice tackle on 3rd and goal. But where were the rest of the heroes? Where was everybody else to make a play?
Which heroes would those be? Because I don't know that you have too many heroes. I think the heroes that you have did all they could today.
So this is what they're capable of. This is the best they could do, is almost beat a 5-7 team.
No, I think they should have beaten a 5-7 team. I think their failure in execution was not a talent issue today. Their failure in execution, you know, I have joked about it for years back with Paul Perillo. It's very simple football math, they call it. 7 beats 3 every time. Mm-hmm. When you kick field goals like that early, it generally bites you in the ass. You generally lose the football game because of it. There's the one-offs. Mm-hmm. You know, the Steelers, I feel like the kings of it. The Steelers get like 6 field goals and win the game like 18-15 or something like that.
Well, they won 44-38 today. Damn.
For the most part, teams that kick field goals early, 3-4 field goals early, you live to regret it, even against mediocre teams. And that's the reality. If you don't execute, and this is not a sudden issue in the red zone, they stink in the red zone. They had a little stretch there where they were nice about a month ago, mm-hmm. but they do not, and it's often penalty related. Today they score a touchdown on the Wildcat and holding. And yes, it was holding. I don't want to hear all these BS complaints from all you people that it wasn't holding. When a guy is outside your frame, and he's pulling away towards the ball, and the ball runs right by him, you're going to get that holding call 100 times out of 100 in the NFL, and you probably should. But they just had too many times, which has been the problem in recent weeks, of penalties or lost yardage for whatever reason. And when you pile those up, you're not going to win. You're not going to score. You're not going to be successful in the red zone. Mm-mm. And they have no margin for error. They're not good enough. I saw plenty I love today. I started with Drake May. The mm-hmm. running game was phenomenal. Those two things right there. The tight ends continue to be balls for the most part. Although I do think Hunter Henry.
You mean nails?
Nails, balls, whatever you want to call it.
Balls usually.
Same thing. No, balls means you got big old balls and you showed it on the football field.
They ball. I mean, I don't want to get too into the grammatical weeds here, but like they were the balls. Like, yeah, the tight ends were the balls, kid. Like, you know, the Celtics are the balls.
Yeah.
They played their balls off.
Yeah, they're balls. That's good. Not bad.
617-779-7937. Have you ever called someone balls before and meant it as a compliment?
Always. If I say y'all, you have
do
no balls.
Y'all do stuff different down on the South Coast, I guess.
Yeah, we do. It's called better.
Who's going to win it? The Celtics. Because there's no other reason why. The Celtics are the balls.
John in the car, Richardson on our Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEI. Richardson actually looked decent on that final drive. The wide receivers had some dropsies. And hey, our offense wasn't awful in between the 20-yard lines, so we have that going for us. So now we're the kings of between the 20 peoples.
Yeah. We're the, you know, on defense, that's good. Bend but don't break, right? Mm-hmm. Like you give up mm-hmm. long drives, but then you bow up in the red zone. We don't let them on the scoreboard. We're like the opposite.
Yeah, show them your balls.
Yeah. Excuse me? I don't think that's okay. He took it to a different level.
This is only the second segment of the show, and I'm already hovering on that dump button.
Yeah, just stay near it. Stay near it. Don't you worry about it.
Don't blame us. Blame the Patriots. They put us in this emotional predicament.
Thank you, Andy. I would like to say, I would like to agree with you wholeheartedly early in the program, because it is not our fault. This is what they continue to do to us.
They have three wins. They just lost on a two-point conversion in overtime. They just allowed Anthony Richardson to, I believe, 19 plays. He drove it down your throat.
19 for 80.
The quarterback who tapped out earlier this season literally said, I'm tired, coach. Can I go? Left a game.
Do we have a reliever I can call in? No.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it works.
That guy drove the ball down your throat and kicked your ass. That's what leaves us in this predicament. We know the Patriots have the better quarterback, the better franchise quarterback. We know that for sure.
And are we sure?
Today. Excuse me?
I think he is, but I'm just saying, like,
No, we're dead sure. The other guy blows. The other guy will not be a quarterback in the National Football League in a couple of years. Certainly won't be a starter. Maybe his athleticism keeps him around.
He's got a little bit of a long throwing motion, I will give you that.
He just kind of stinks, and it's not his fault. This was his 13th start in the NFL, and he had 13 in college. He's got 26 starts combined, pros and college. That's not fair. Even Drake May, people say, didn't play much. He played 22 starts in college, right?
Andy, like, positives to look forward to. The Twitch chat would like to say, would like us to know. Hey, the Pats are going to be awesome on Hard Knocks next year.
Sure, I'll take that. Unless they fire Mayo, because if you have a new coach, you don't have to do it.
Would Robert Kraft when faced with the prospect of, no, you know what? I think he would say absolutely yes to it, because Belichick, we all know, would have hated, even though nobody loves NFL films more or respects the voice of Facenda and the great work of the Sables. No one wanted to be on Hard Knocks less. However, I bet you Robert Kraft would love one final chance to get in front of a bunch of cameras with a national streaming audience, whatever you say, and just be like, I just want to make it to the playoffs one more time. Is that too
much? And if we don't, it's Bill's fault.
Goddamn, right? Belichick. He did this to us.
I know he's been gone for multiple years, and it's still his fault somehow.
Yeah, okay, thank you very
much. Then you're a real schmuck.
Yeah.
Yep.
No name as hat in the Twitch chat. Once again, if a team scores anything over 24, the Pats are cooked. Can't disagree. That's like
the
we have a new magic
number. Over 20.
They did, which is great.
Drake May is kind of creating this world where you feel like you're going to score in the low 20s when he plays.
By the way, I apologize, everybody. We are reading from predominantly the Twitch chat. The comments are excellent, but also we're having a little bit of an issue with our text line. I've seen people 37937. None of the texts are coming through. Well, listen, you can only pay so many bills around here a month, so.
I'm going to test it.
You know what I mean? Sometimes how, you know, like, well, what do you kids want? Cable, heat, groceries, water, car. So.
Fitzy.
Okay, yep.
Sucks.
Here we go. All right.
Send.
This number will be. Nope.
No Fitzy sucks?
Nope. I mean, there were plenty of those already, but those are from yesterday.
I just sent a Fitzy sucks.
I know. Sorry.
Was not delivered?
Nope. Somebody in the 207 yesterday, corn pudding is a great side.
Ew. That's usually what I have after I eat corn.
All right, we're just going to throw it to Westwood One's coverage of another game. I don't know, even care who's on at this point. 617-779-7937. Corn pudding, is it the balls? We'll try to get to that. Actually, we're just trying to have a little laugh, folks, because it's obviously very frustrating to watch the team almost come through when they need to be teaching themselves how to win. This, Andy, is how you develop culture. This is how you turn the ship around in the canal. You get a win before the bye. You feel a little bit better about yourself. You talk about how you got there, what you did right, what you did wrong, and how you can continue to grab hold of that when you have games against the Cardinals, obviously two against the Bills, which is going to be very difficult, and the Chargers. You all season, 0-17 is on the table, 1-16 is on the table, 2-15 is on the table. I'll tell you straight up, 3-14 on the table.
It's absolutely the only way 3-14 doesn't happen if the Bills don't want to win the last game. If the Bills rest everybody because they're playing the following week. That's the only way that doesn't happen. Otherwise, you're 3-14 and you will have a top three pick, hopefully, because right now you're sitting in the four spot after the early games, today's action in the number four.
Oh, no. Oh, I'll leave you with this. This is a brutal punch right to the blank on the way out. Da Bears in the Twitch chat. Today's loss, Bears-esque. Oh.
Yeah, probably some truth to that.
We were Aber flushed. Yes.
They kind of had
Aberflusian.
They weren't really Aberflused because they kind of executed to set up for either the Hail Mary or the long field goal.
Actually, I did really like the way that they executed that 40-50, like the 40-49, so they got 11 yards to Hunter Henry. That was a nice Hunter Henry, excellent game, except for the pick.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the pick was, it's football. I actually felt Drake May played a really nice, clean game. I'm with him when somebody asked, so like, hey, you know, how would you talk about the incomplete? Do we expect him to complete every pass?
Yes.
It's the National Football League. That's not how it works. I watched Brady miss plenty of passes and receivers. They had a couple that weren't, you know, on the same page with Jalen Polk or with Pop Douglas, but he had a good day, and they had a good day offensively throwing the ball.
Hey, Andy, real quick, could you help me on this one? Night Train 8837 in the Twitch chat. Fitzy, Alex Austin didn't give up the TD. It was Kyle Duggar. I saw
yes.
two. It was Duggar?
It was Duggar. Yeah, it was two.
Oh, three. I thought it was 28. My apologies to Alex Austin. Welcome back. You played a good game today. Made an excellent.
Kind of did.
Defended that long pass for Alec Pierce that was within the 10. That was a nice play. I thought that was. Damn it, Duggar. You know what? He's
not a good cover guy.
No, he's not.
Now, I don't know that that's a good matchup for him. I'm not sure. They had a few of those today. That Jelani Tavai early pass interference, which was an obvious pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, what the hell is Jelani Tavai doing 30 yards downfield covering
right.
a wide receiver?
Right.
What defense is this? And why? Remember when Brady said that? What defense is this when Malcolm Butler's not in there? What defense is this where Jelani Tavai is 30 yards downfield on a wide receiver? Because, DeMarcus,
yes.
throw that defense out. I don't care for it.
Yes, I agree with you, AFR underscore Steve. Austin was a bit of a revelation today on defense. Kudos to him. My apologies. I'll take a lap on the commercial break. 617-779-7937 is your number. We will get to your calls. Let's hear from the good people of Pats Nation on the other side as the venting continues. Patriots lose to the Colts 25-24. We're here for you to discuss live on the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
Drod, what went into the decision at the end to try the 68-yard field goal versus going for a Hail Mary there?
Yeah, that was 100% me. Look, Sly was hitting it well in pregame. I felt that that was the best thing to do to help our team win the football game. Not sure what the numbers are on Hail Marys versus the field goal there, but that's what I felt was right.
It's my life, and I'm going to decide if Joey Sly is going to kick a 68-yard field goal for the win or not. The heck with all of you. I don't imagine that there's a book or that there's a someone that has the stats on, well, coach, in this instance, this many Hail Marys from this particular distance have been made versus, oh, wait a second, hold on. No one's ever made a 68-yard field goal before.
Yeah. 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 It looked like a good kick.
It did. It was a great, Andy, it was a spectacular kick. The worst part is Joey Sly now gets two missed field goals on the day. The 25-yarder, we don't even know why he missed that chip shot that was shorter than a contemporary extra point attempt and just barely longer than the old-fashioned extra point attempt. But have mercy. 68 yards.
You realize
can you at least give credit for how close he was?
I'm giving him all the credit for making a spectacular kick. It was definitely good from 64.
Yeah. The reality is they were going to lose the game.
Why?
What?
What about, wait, they weren't going to, well, yeah.
Hail Marys are a low percentage chuck from there.
See, you know what I was telling producer Joe Braverman right before the, what would have been the attempted Hail Mary but became the 68-yard, the kickoff for a field goal, was, hey, put Gonzo in there. Gonzo's got great hands. We saw him catching some passes at practice this week. Would you not give Gonzo a shot on a Hail Mary?
He's a tall dude,
good hands.
Probably wouldn't. If that's the answer, then get rid of all your receivers.
Well, we're planning on doing that anyway, so.
Right, but I'm just like, if your receivers aren't capable of playing the position they are literally paid to play.
Who's the tallest receiver?
Tallest receiver.
Put Keon White in there and tell him to just push some people around.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I guess it's probably Hunter Henry. Maybe Austin. Maybe Hoopa.
Well, but they're not receivers. I'm talking about receivers. I think it's Bourne.
Technically, it's Jalen Hurd, who's 6'5". But he's not even active. Like, he's a practice squatter.
Yeah, no, he's not an option.
That doesn't
count. Heard
of
him.
But everyone, yeah, but just looking at the active list, you have, like, Jalen Polk is 6'1", Bourne is 6'1", Baker 6'1",
yeah.
Douglas obviously 5'8". Hunter Henry, if we're talking strictly pass catchers, 6'5", but everyone else is 6'1".
Baker's only 6'1"?
You know how long it would take Hunter Henry to get to the end zone from 55 yards away?
How much time you got?
Yeah,
not enough.
A while.
Not with this line.
617-779-7937. Let's hear from you people, the good people of Patriots Nation, our fair listenership. Hold on.
We'll see.
You know what? this I know for a fact. I don't need my own personal Evan Rothstein to whistle in on this one. No postgame show has ever started off poorly with a call from the great state of Maine. From the 207, we got Big Rob on the line. Hi, Rob.
Fritzy.
Rob.
It's your boy.
Rob, my guy.
I used to be Rob on the Cape. We met at Clayton Anchor up in Dennis.
You know, yes, we cool. did.
All right. I respect your football acumen.
Thank you.
I think Gonzo, least case scenario, put him out there, throw the Hail Mary.
Why not?
60-yard field goal, you're never, ever, ever making that, especially outside.
That's right.
Without the wind. Come on.
And when it's cold, when it's 25 degrees outside and you're basically kicking like a stone.
Yeah. Yeah. That ain't happening.
I know.
But here's what I called for.
Sure.
This right now is best case scenario for us Pats fans. We got a quarterback. We got close games. We lost 5 one-score games this year.
Mm-hmm.
We got close games, entertaining football, and we're low enough to get that pick. So let's get some O-line. Belichick is gone, who I am convinced was tanking the team on purpose so they would suck when he left. I think that how could he be that great of a coach and so bad of a scout with talent and so bad in the draft and pick all the worst receivers and all that? So we got a new regime, and let's see what happens.
All right. Thank you very much, Rob. Andy, do you subscribe to Rob's hypothesis that Belichick was so frustrated with the operation, perhaps with some organizational meddling, that he was purposely tanking the team and drafting the worst players possible? I can't buy, as much as I love Rob, formerly of the Cape, now of Maine, I can't buy it.
I think that's excuse-making for the ineptitude of Bill Belichick in the last couple years of his tenure in New England. He wasn't good. That's all it was. It's okay. It's okay to accept the reality that he is not a god. He's a human being, and he's aging, and he's failing, and he was flawed in the last couple years in New England. He made a lot of dumb decisions and bad mistakes, and that's why they lost games, and that's why the cupboard is quite bare in New England. He was complicit in the ineptitude.
Yes, tis. There's not a lot of depth. So the Elliott Wolfs, the Matt Groves, the Gerard
Mayos.
They
suck too.
I was going to say, they were also part of the equation.
They're in on the suckitude,
mm-hmm.
the suckification of the New England Patriots over the last couple of years. They are part of it.
The grand suck.
And I'm with, was it Rob? Bill? What was his name?
Me. That was Rob Tom? From Maine.
Chuck? Somebody from Maine. Anyway.
It was Rob. I'll say it again.
Snow up there. Lucky him, he got some mm-hmm. snow this week. I'm with him. I watched an entertaining football game today that had me on the edge of my seat, literally on the final play. Thought I might see history, especially when I saw the kick, and it was dead nuts down the center, and then it came up a little short. I saw Drake May dealing and wheeling, running and throwing and making plays. I'm very happy with what I saw from him. I saw Christian Gonzalez. I saw a run game. I saw some entertainment value, and I saw the Patriots maintain a hold on a top 5 pick. And yes, I would like the highest pick possible. People on Twitter were like, oh, great, a high pick and a crappy draft. I'd rather have a high pick and a crappy draft than a low pick and a crappy draft. I always want the higher pick. These people that don't want a high pick, it befuddles me a little bit. You always want the higher pick, always.
You know who your leading tackler was today on the Patriots defense? This explains a lot, even though they weren't able to come through in the clutch in the end when it mattered most, the winning time on the final drive.
How about Anthony Jennings? I have no idea.
That would be incorrect, sir. He had 5 tackles, 2 of which were solo, with 9 total tackles, 5 solo, and 1 tiffle. That would be tackle for loss. Jabril Peppers.
Oh, pep talk.
I was wondering if he was actually going to come back.
Oh, yeah, they welcomed him. I'm still not sure how this works out. I'm assuming they have seen the footage and they've grown quite comfortable with what his lawyer was selling.
According to Mass Live, a piece published just a few days ago, the Patriots had conducted their own internal investigation, and it appears as though they were comfortable enough with him returning to the team.
The video. The only thing that can make you comfortable is you saw the video that the lawyer's been talking about since the very first
that
year.
That will exonerate Mr. Yeah. Peppers?
Because otherwise, you can't feel comfortable. It's a he said, she said. You can't feel comfortable. Now, if you saw a video that he claims refutes the bulk of the allegations mm-hmm. coming at him, that's how you can feel comfortable. Other than that, I don't know how you could feel comfortable. I still feel a little weird about it, unsure about it.
Remember, Antonio Brown was cut back in 2019 on a team that was desperate for a wide receiver one and some dynamic spark on offense. just 11 days into his tenure
yeah.
with the Patriots because of a text message.
Yeah. This is a tough one, and it's also weird that the captaincy was removed, and he said at his locker after the game, I saw on Twitter, it was a mutual decision between the parties, him and the team.
Okay, so you shouldn't be a team captain, so we don't want you speaking out on behalf of the team, but you can play yeah. for us, and you can actually be the best part of our defense.
That was kind of my, he's a good player. Mm-hmm. We know that.
Yes.
He's a player that had grown quite popular within the locker room and mm-hmm. outside the locker room. People love the way he plays. I even listened today, Adam Archuleta on the broadcast. He had become one of my favorite players to watch as a defender, former safety, thumper, the whole thing. But you're right. So he can put on the uniform. He can put on the jersey and the logo and everything, but you can't put the C on there. So what is he being punished for?
Well, now, he was in possession of a Class B substance, so.
Also makes me wonder, why is that not a big deal?
Coke.
Yeah.
I mean, allegedly?
According to the police report, he allegedly said it was his.
So he just straight up owned up to the fact that he was in possession of an illegal narcotic.
That was the reports of the police report. I have not read the police report, so it's secondhand reports. But I don't know. I find this whole situation a little bit weird. And I weigh in here. Now, I don't know if you should or would or could.
Mm-hmm.
I weigh in here the fact that this is a bad football team having a bad season. This isn't the Patriots, you know, trying to squeeze out one last championship run or something. This isn't a team like Buffalo trying to get over the hump. Like, you're not playing for anything right now. So are you risking embarrassment? Are you risking the franchise? Are you risking the new organizational makeup making their first really bad decision for what? So you can get a play. I don't know. That's why I feel like they must be really, really confident that he's going to come out on top in this.
Yeah. Like it's very strange for somebody to have such significant allegations following an arrest in my hometown, not even 2 months removed. He's taken off the NFI list. Makes you wonder why was he taken off the NFI list? Is there only a certain amount of time you're allowed to be on there?
The explanation given by the league, which I had sort of surmised at the time, is he'd already missed 7 games. So even if he had been suspended for 6, he had already kind of time served over the course of this. Now,
yep.
I will say, if he did what he was alleged to have done, I think it's more than a 6-game suspension.
Yeah, you can stand there at least half a season.
The Patriots should thank CBS for the way they whitewashed this. Did you listen to how they described it when they did the little... Let's go down to, what's her name, Aditi?
Aditi.
Yeah, that. I struggle with her name, and I don't want to butcher it, so I apologize.
Aditi K.
They got her hit, and she handles, Jabril Peppers back on the roster today, who's removed from the NFL's commissioner's list, so therefore, blah. And then they just said he's accused of assault and drug possession. And I was like, yes, but it's a little bit more than that he's accused. Assault could be, he and another guy at line at the gas station, both 250-pound men, started swinging at each other. Mm-hmm. That could be assault. That's not what this is.
Not
this
it was is 4 domestic, in the morning at his birthday.
Right, with a woman who alleges you threw her down the stairs. Like, I'm not saying it's true, mm-hmm. but they did a good job of just kind of zipping right by with as few words as possible and as little description as possible. And again, maybe they're comfortable. They're a broadcaster with the CBS and the Patriots. Maybe they were told and believed that it's a minor thing and a money grab, whatever it is. So, but be that as it may, that he is an impact player on this defense. He helps this defense. Now, I will say, I thought the run mm-hmm. defense struggled today. Both teams ran the ball very well, including their quarterbacks, running backs. Jonathan Taylor,
by the way, he was 25 for 96, so basically 4 yards a carry. Anthony Richardson, 9 for 48. Drake May, 5 for 59. Man, that kid can scoot.
Well, he had that one where, I forgot the guy's name, it was man coverage.
Yep.
And Drake May's running down the field, and one of the corners or safeties is like staying with his guy. He looks back and he continues, and I'm like, hey, are you going to stop the quarterback at some point? Pretty much in all sports, they yell, stop ball, and he decided not to stop the ball and let Drake May run right by him, but that was like a 41-yard scamper. But the defense, I thought the run defense was actually pretty putrid for the most part. I thought Jonathan Taylor, he looked a little Le'Veon Bell-esque. He was very patient and then productive. It was kind of pitter-patter, boom, pitter-patter, boom.
He's a nice combination of size, strength, and speed.
Yeah, I like him. I don't mind seeing him in a Pats uniform.
No, he's going to probably stay in Naptown for a while.
Probably.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. When we come back, we will discuss who today on the New England Patriots made a case for sticking around a while and maybe being a part of the 2025 Patriots and beyond. Plus, later on, we'll get to Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down. And, of course, don't forget, you can't go anywhere. You cannot finish off your Patriots Sunday without the Cars for Kids player of the game. It is all here on the Six Rings postgame show, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. It's all brought to you there at McFarlandEnergy.com. Six Rings postgame show carries on in just moments. Don't go anywhere.